It's podcast time on XFM. You can't get enough of them. Guests galore, a chit chat too, but never call it banter. Breakfast XFM. It's Danny with Specs on XFM.
It's Danny.
It's Breakfast XFM.
It's Danny.
Yes, we are XFM.
Danny Wallace.
Hello, how are you? Welcome to podcast 75 from the XFM Breakfast Show with me, Danny Wallace, Matthew Dyson. I don't tell you enough how much I enjoy working with you.
Oh, it's very kind of you, Daniel.
Mm-hmm.
The feeling is mutual, of
well,
course.
Well, that feeling is also mutual, yeah. So yeah. I take that feeling you give me and I reverse it and pass it back to you as a little, little present.
I'll do the old switcheroo and send it straight back your way.
It's annoying, don't do that, because I've given you the thanks now.
You know, I think it's constantly
to what you're thankless.
Rebounds between
it's not
us,
rebounding. I should, if I give you thanks, like you keep the thanks.
The love, the gift that keeps on giving.
It's not, you're just giving me my own gift back.
It's a rebound.
Get your, own, get, your own, get your own. Get your own. Get your own gift. F you. on this podcast today, Billy Crystal for you, Rich Fulcher as well. We asked two questions in particular. One is, tell us about your favourite cat, and the other is, where do you store your soul? Stephen Ferdinando sings for your pleasure. There's Quiz Face and a special surprise from Billy Crystal. Do you want to, should we just put that behind us, Matt?
Dave, tell Danny I'm not talking to him.
Yes, we are XFM. Danny Wallace.
Morning, everybody. It's coming up to 6:12 on the 12th of the 12th. 12. Calling it National Mic Check Day.
Yeah.
1-2, 1-2, 1-2.
Oh, good.
Going to see that a lot on Twitter today, everybody.
Yeah. This is the last. Is this the last time this will happen? Ever?
No.
Because there's only 12 months in the year.
Yeah. But in 100 years.
Oh, right, well, yeah, yeah, in our lifetime, I meant.
Yeah, probably. Right, well, yeah. Who knows? Who knows, Dave?
Well, yeah, that's a good point, yeah.
For a little while, anyway, that's certainly the case. How are you, Matthew?
I'm all right, thanks, yeah.
Did you have the shave?
Yes, I know, yeah. I've got rid of my beard for the first time in a long time.
It's Christmas shave.
Well, most people don't seem to like it.
I like it.
My missus thinks I look like a Moomin.
No!
I kept a soul patch.
Oh, did
for
you?
A while.
How wonderful.
But then I thought like I look like an absolute idiot. I shaved that off.
Every man who lets the beard grow for a little while, there's not one man who, while a little bit drunk, maybe they've had a bad glass of wine and thought, well, I should have a shave, hasn't just left the moustache until the next morning.
Yeah.
And thinking, they're looking in the mirror, after that bad glass of wine, thinking, I look pretty terrific.
Yeah, yeah.
And they wake up and they see themselves and go, I don't look terrific.
Yeah, yeah.
I think you look terrific, Matthew. I think that when you shave off your beard, as far as I'm concerned, it's just free Matt Dyson. It's extra Matt Dyson.
Yeah, that's
true. More Matt Dyson for your buck.
Yeah, yeah.
It's how I think of it.
Yeah,
that's what I write down in my pad at home when I'm doing sketches of you.
Nice.
And your little girl hasn't been very well.
My family are very ill. My house is just full of coughing. It has been for about 2 weeks now.
Really?
Yeah, my manner is ill.
Your manner
is
ill.
Plan B would say. Yeah. It's ridiculous.
But you've called in backup. You've called in the mother-in-law.
Yes.
Who is now taking care of the duties down that you were taking care of.
The matriarch of the family has come down from Staffordshire.
Yes, when I got that text last night and you said that the mother-in-law's standing in, I genuinely for a moment thought, has Matt somehow pulled off some scam where his mother-in-law is going to be reading the news on our show? How has this happened?
She'd probably be up for it.
It would be wonderful. But no, that's not happening.
Yeah.
But are they on the mend? Are they getting better?
They're on antibiotics now, yeah.
And you've managed to escape this?
I seem to be all right, yeah.
And you're like the carrier. You're escaping the sort of the symptoms, but you're spreading it around. Is how I think of it.
But yeah, in this airless room that we sit in.
That's right, yeah. Very hot airless room. You're like the monkey from that film Outbreak.
Yeah,
and it's your job to bring London down.
Yeah,
one person at a time.
I think I'm fine.
He thinks he's fine. He's got absolutely no idea. He's not a doctor. What does he know?
Yeah.
We'll see as the morning progresses. And what will you be bringing to the show today?
So this is an interesting experiment. This, well, as well as the norovirus.
Yeah.
And the virulent strain of flu,
yeah.
I'll be bringing you all the latest news on the hour and on the half hour.
Every hour and every half hour.
XFM.
I don't know what's going on in the world of animals. I mean, dogs are driving cars in New Zealand. Other dogs are doing maths in China. And now, in Canada, a stylish monkey was found roaming around IKEA. And he was dressed in like a shearling coat and he had a nappy on. And the monkey managed to open a crate that it was in, unlock the car door, and then go for a stroll around IKEA. I mean, what is happening? Monkeys building Billy bookcases.
Yeah.
You know? It's the monkey was ushered into a corner of the store by the employees, and he was unharmed, although he was a bit alarmed with all the attention. I suppose, you know.
Not surprised.
He doesn't want a fuss made of him. He's out shopping. A City of Toronto spokesman said the monkey is a rhesus macaque, a species that's illegal in Toronto. No, in Ontario. I don't know why that one in particular is illegal. Mm. So anyway, he just went for a little wander around. So that's more animal stuff there. Over in Sweden, a kid has been banned from dressing up as a gingerbread man because it's racist. Feels like I should... I don't quite understand that, but apparently it's a racist gingerbread man. And all these stories are things we could have talked about until Dave told me about a blog that he'd found that just seems to speak to the XFM demographic.
It really does.
It really does. Mm. And it's a blog written by a postie. He's a postman, and on his route, he started to notice there's more and more cats and felines just kind of wandering about. So he thought, I need to keep a record of this. Who's keeping a record of all the cats? No one. I'm going to. And so he's written this brilliant blog. He takes pictures of all these cats and just tells you a little bit about them. You know, favourite location, preferred strokes. He's worked out the stroke preferences that these cats enjoy. Yeah. For example, on one street in particular, there's a little cat that he's called Bertie. The character of this cat, he describes as a tactile snugglepuss. And he says Bertie's a beauty. A soft lump of mog who was persistent as well as insistent when it comes to demanding attention. His purr was as loud as his face was fat. Aww. The photos show the typical feline head run against human, in this case, my knee. So the head is sort of stroking the postman's knee. And yeah. His brilliant VIP collar. And he's got a lovely collar, this cat, or Bertie. And then there's Midnight, and Midnight likes the chin tickle, and he's a persuasive female. Then there's Dylan, of course. And Dylan, I mean, he's a bit of a wanderer. You'll find him in various gardens. He likes the head tickle, but he's very arrogant. The postie saw Dylan at about number 92, and he fussed over him and discovered his real name on his collar before Dylan just hopped over into the next garden, and the next, and the next. Oh, that's Dylan for you.
Classic Dylan.
Then there's Coppertone, and you'll find him on Leopold Street somewhere in London. And he hangs around the garden path. He likes the head rub. He's quite inquisitive. And Coppertone actually ran down the garden path to greet the postman. Bless his ginger socks, says the postie. He loves to be fussed over. And if he hadn't had so much work to do, could have stayed for a long while with Coppertone.
Yeah.
I think it's one of the most pleasing blogs I've ever seen. It's one of the reasons that the internet was invented just for this. What a wonderful and marvellous thing. So, in terms of a texter this morning, and this will sound a bit strange, but tell us about your favourite cat. 83936. You must have a favourite. Maybe it's Coppertone. Maybe he's inquisitive. Maybe he's slightly arrogant. But, you know, perhaps he's vexing or mysterious. Mm. Tell us about your favourite cat here on BBC Radio, or here on XFM. So, for example, Dave, do you have a favourite cat you'd like to tell us about today?
I do have a favourite cat, as it goes, Danny.
Tell us about your favourite cat.
Well, my favourite cat has the made-up nickname of Winston, we called him, a couple of years ago.
Oh.
He lives on the Cayman Road area of Holloway. Cautious and detached, yet intuitive and very, very loyal, actually.
Really?
Dislikes tuna, enjoys milk. Ah. The favourite stroke is the tickle at the base of the back.
Oh, the base back tickle.
The base back tickle.
That's a wonderful stroke. And if you've got a favourite cat, I mean, maybe it's a long-haired mog or a short-haired mog or a lazy mog or an active mog or a bashful mog or a rash mog or a brush mog or a grand mog or a great mog or a wee mog or a twee mog or an affable mog, an unsociable mog, a mean mog, a clean mog, a smelly mog, an incarcerated mog, a liberated mog, a liberal mog, a loud mog or a quiet mog, or maybe it's just a racist mog. Why not let us know this morning here on XFM? Not the last one, though, please. No, keep that to yourself. XFM. There must be some bad wine going around London. Circulating. Doing the rounds. Gotta be so careful, haven't you? Mm. Happen to anyone. And, while walking here this morning, I was approached by a gentleman outside who I think must have been a victim of a bad bottle of wine, something like that. And he claimed to be the devil. And he got very close to me and started telling me all about being the devil. And then he made a joke about it's quite cold at the moment, isn't it? And we laughed about that as I moved away. and then he was like, I'm going to steal your soul. Oh, I was like, Blimmin' heck, that's today. All I need. Yeah. Not today.
Because you're busy at the moment as well.
I got a lot going on.
Yeah.
A lot going on. I'm like, this is so vexing. But as I walk away, I'm just shaking my head going, today of all days, with Christmas coming up.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
That's true.
So I hope he's not still out there, and I hope he's not doing that to anybody else. I hope he's just gone, well, I've got the one. And I'll just probably just nip home now.
Has he taken it then, has he? Has he got his own?
I don't feel any different.
No.
I feel absolutely the same. So I hope that doesn't mean I was soulless before.
right.
I think I've still got it. I think he was bluffing.
Okay.
But you can never be.
No,
you
know? Who
where's,
knows?
Where's yours at the moment? Did you bring yours with you?
I've still got my soul, yeah.
Yeah, so where is it?
Most days.
Yeah, you bring it with you?
Yeah, and then
always keep it on
keep
you.
It in a bum bag.
Where do you keep your soul, Dave?
Well, I tie it to a little piece of string and so it threads through my jacket so I can never lose it.
Why didn't I do that? I'm like checking my pockets. I'm going, I'm sure I definitely had it with me when I left the house.
Never be too careful.
You can never be too careful. Yeah. So, like I say, I hope he was bluffing. But I think it's going to be fine, isn't it? You can get new ones, can't you?
Well, no, I don't think so.
Sure.
I don't think it's...
sure you can get... someone I can write to, or...
I've still
got the guarantee.
Yeah, and, there's a warranty on
it. It's a lifetime guarantee.
Oh, right. Well, you should be fine, then.
I should be fine.
You should be all right.
Well, I'll keep checking anyway, just in case. Let us know if you've still got yours, 83936. Why not? Start an early texter. Here's Coldplay. Hurts like heaven. I'll still get in there, won't I? I'll still get in there.
Cool. That's in doubt now.
Well, no, I've got the receipt. I've got proof of purchase.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know about that.
Oh, this is all I need. Yeah. Well, good morning. You're with the XFM Breakfast Show with me, Danny Wallace. And my goodness me, there is excitement today. You know, people throw around the phrase, Matt, comedy legend, a little too much, don't they?
They do.
This fella's earned his place in comedy history
Bonafide.
And continues to. William Edward Crystal, Billy Crystal is here. Yay. Wow. Billy Crystal. It's kind of one of those slightly surreal things. We get to talk to a lot of film stars, a lot of big comics, things like that. The fact that you exist and you walk amongst us is still a surprise to me.
Isn't that? To me too.
Really?
Yeah.
You must get that. You know, if you're walking down the street, let's say you're just in some civilian time, you're popping down maybe to get some milk, something like that. People see you. What on earth goes through their mind?
Well, first of all, I'd never go out for milk.
Right. That's good. Yeah, you're people.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course. I
put on a baseball hat and just walk. People just don't even look.
Really?
Well, no one's looking at anybody anyway anymore.
Really?
Everyone's looking at a machine. Everyone's looking at an iPhone or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Everyone's looking down. It's gotten a lot easier to navigate because of these phones.
Really? So you can go hither and thither and people don't know?
I went thither the other day. It was sensational.
I bet it was.
It was a total surprise.
Really? Billy, what a pleasure. It's impossible to know where to begin with you. I mean, you know,
pick some place.
Okay, good, yeah. We'll go. I mean, you know, Saturday Night Live, hosting the Oscars, all the films over the years, When Harry Met Sally. I mean, my goodness me, analyze this, analyze that. What a broad and impressive CV.
I've surprised myself.
Is that right?
I mean it. I'm very grateful. I never, at this point in my career, that I've been able to be in some really good things. It's a shock to me that, I think about where I started and where I'm at now. It's like I'm really grateful.
And what a great kind of industry to be in and to have such natural talent for. And you grew up kind of on comedy as well, didn't you? You listened to a lot of
stuff. I grew up on jazz, really, in the beginning. My dad was in the music business. My dad was a concert producer of traditional jazz. And we owned a little record store that was really no bigger than this in New York called the Commodore Music Shop. And my uncle was a phenomenal record producer. Produced everything from Strange Fruit with Billie Holiday to Rock Around the Clock.
But you'd listen to things like Sid Caesar as well.
Well, then my dad had this, with the store, brought home the comedy albums. They were great if your kids remember, called Records.
Records, yes.
Yes, and they were
work
great.
Experience team looking blank at this stage.
Yeah.
they were like very big
vinyl CDs. You don't even remember CDs anymore.
No. About 10 minutes ago, depressingly, Billy, he said the sentence, and the entire, no one mentioned it, but we all kind of, there was a physical jolt. He said, oh, I'm glad I wasn't around in the 80s.
Oh. Wow.
Yeah. About that.
Wow. Jeez. Let me get my walker.
Absolutely. Parental guidance is what we're here to talk about. I went to see the other day. It's a great film.
Thank you.
Bette Midler.
Yeah.
Just fantastic. And you play Artie, who's a baseball commentator. He's the voice of like a local team. But at the same time, you're a grandfather to kids that you rarely see.
Yes, it's that happens. You know, they live in different parts of the country. Artie's wanted to be this announcer for a team called the San Francisco Giants forever, and it's not happens. He gets fired in the beginning of the movie. He's 60 years old. He's too old school for the radio, and you know the feeling.
Exactly.
With this puppy
this
here.
Clown.
And so he's summoned to Atlanta, Georgia, to babysit for these kids who he doesn't see a lot because he's had this dream, and the baseball season's long, and seems every year there's another excuse not to come to see them. And it's okay with him because he doesn't get along very well with these kids. He's awkward around them.
He is.
And, you know, when you're so focused on doing one thing, you don't see everything else. And he hasn't seen it. There's this family there that really needs him. And as he finds out, he needs them more than he ever thought he could. So it gives the film a great heart, too.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Heartwarming is just...
Without being sloppy.
Well, no, absolutely. Well, sloppy at one point. I mean, at one point, you vomit on an infant.
But he had it coming.
He had it coming.
And it wasn't an infant. He hit me and then... Jewels
in, area, in the gentleman's agreements.
Yeah.
The gentleman's
agreements.
So
the 12-year-old has no idea what you're talking about.
once he
hasn't found it yet.
Once he hits puberty.
Don't look down, but there's a wonderful thing there.
Yeah, absolutely.
It sort of interrupts the rest of your body.
That little nubbin. He thought it was a third nipple, Billy, I'll be honest.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I'm sorry you saw so much of it.
Are we making you uncomfortable?
Do your listeners really want to know that?
Weirdly, yes.
What are you guys
doing?
You're not interviewing me.
This isn't actually going on air. This is just for fun. Well, fantastic. It comes out, I think, Boxing Day.
Boxing Day. Now, what is Boxing Day? What's
pure violence on the streets,
that's
Billy.
That's what it is.
It's all that happens, yeah. We get all the pent-up aggression from being with our families for all of Christmas, and we just hit
and getting
the streets.
Bad presents.
Yeah.
I didn't want that. Wow.
Exactly. I don't know, why is it called Boxing Day, Matt? I have no idea what I'm asking you.
I think it's something to do with the boxes your presents come in.
That's no idea. No idea.
It's the return day, right? Literally no idea. Billy Crystal, what a brilliant pleasure to speak to you today.
Thank you so much for joining us.
XFM. If you've just joined us, the question I've asked the listenership this morning is, can you tell us about your favourite cat?
Turns out yes. Yes, you can. Many of you. You've all got a favourite cat. It's wonderful. It's all because this postman has developed a wonderful blog, probably my favourite blog of recent years.
Oh, really? Wow.
Well, yeah, exactly.
Strong words.
It's got attention to the detail... heartwarming, and he wanders around the Wimbledon area, taking pictures of cats and then telling you about them. And Andy in Watford just says, we've got 9 cats, I think I'm going mad. But my favourite is Aslan. He doesn't know what a litter tray's for, and therefore I have to take Aslan for walkies 3 times or more every day. Poor Andy in Watford, he's going insane. Dave, tell us about someone else's favourite cat.
My favourite cat is Norris, aka the Moggy of Death.
Oh, dear.
Things you need to know
about Norris. Sounds like quite a character.
He does, doesn't he? Things you need to know about Norris. Yeah. 1, he is strangely attractive because of his enigmatic smile. Mm. And 2, he can kill you in any one of 412 different ways. That's from Lana and Hornchurch.
Perfect.
Sounds like quite a character.
Yeah.
Anna says Thomas Cat is a dignified Bengal who sees everything from his perch on top of the sofa back. He likes nothing more than your undivided attention. And a good, vigorous ear rub. Sounds like quite a character. Over the years, a slight, sad, dejected look has crept into his eyes as he now has to share his home with 2 humans. But he's a loyal companion and he would never complain. Dave, tell us about someone's favourite cat.
Meow, then.
My favourite cat is my boy Dangerous Dirk Firestorm.
Sounds like quite a character.
His favourite stroke is the Mantrap tummy rub.
Oh.
Which is, I think, one of everyone's favourites.
Yes,
and he likes nothing more than sitting on my husband's stomach at 6 a.m. and clawing him in the lip till he gets out of bed and feeds him some bickies.
Well, sounds like quite a character, doesn't he? My favourite cat is mine, of course. He's diabetic and has to get injections. My favourite cat is Mimi. She was named after a nearby Lady of the Night. I've changed the words. She plays fetch and is completely insane. She's a crazy mog, I must say. Sounds like quite a character, doesn't she, though? What else? What else?
My favourite cat is my neighbour's cat Fat Tortoise Shell.
Yeah.
He sits happily on the roof of his garage and watches as Michael, my crazy dog, runs madly around our garden, digging random holes, eating flowers and sniffing crotches.
Oh.
With no visible result or positive outcome, the cat sums it all up with a withering look that says, "Relax, old fellow, you really are a bit of a silly billy."
Quite a character, that one. Ian from Tottenham says, "Morning, guys. My favourite cat was a fellow we named Clive when I lived in Queen's Park with a flat roof by our kitchen. He was a charismatic lad. He used to sit outside and perform very strange roles, which made us think he may have been mildly disturbed." Confirmed listener Rachel just says, "This is a very weird texter." Yes, it's one of our strangest, I would say. And Rob from Croyd in North Devon just says, "My favourite cat was called Sparky. Aww. This time last year, I fed him glitter in his food. Not to be recommended, everybody. I imagine it was edible. It was a lovely festive surprise for next door's garden." Isn't that a
very nice.
It takes you a moment or two to work that one out, but when you do, it's worth it. Thanks for telling us about your favourite cats. They all sound like real characters.
We are XFM.
Well, you in Hounslow? Watch out if you're in Hounslow. There's a con man in Hounslow, and he's wandering about, claiming to sell computer bags. Now, I don't really know what they are, but each bag contains, he says, a new Apple iMac. That's quite a big bag, that.
Yeah.
And an iPhone 5 for £700. But as soon as you parted with the cash, he somehow, and no one knows how he does this, he switches the bag for a bag stuffed with onions. How does he do this? Where's the other bag coming from? Because a big bag full of onions, I mean, you would imagine, you would notice that.
It would slightly rustle, wouldn't it?
It would rustle, and it would look like a big bag full of onions,
wouldn't it? Stink.
It would stink.
Stink
to people weep. Maybe he confuses you by, you'd just end up weeping, wouldn't you? And you're unable to tell one bag from another.
Yeah.
That's what probably happens.
Whoa.
So I don't know how he manages that. I don't know where he puts the other bag. Maybe it's like a collapsible bag. You know what I mean? Some kind of amazing collapsible bag that instantly shrinks to the size of a walnut.
Yeah.
And he pops it in that tiny pocket that no one's sure what it's quite for in your jeans. In your main pocket, the tiny...
That's what that's for.
Subsidiary pocket. Yeah, yeah, that's for a bag, a collapsible bag the size of a walnut when scamming people in Hounslow. So, last we know. So there's lots of people in Hounslow who've ended up paying £700 for just a big bag of onions. And I don't know what you do with that.
Who would buy a computer of a door-to-door salesman anyway?
He's not even a door-to-door salesman. He's a man working out of an old blue hatchback.
Oh, right.
Who just seems to have ready access to many computer bags full of iMacs and iPhones that he's willing to sell for a weirdly specific £700. And then you open it up and obviously it's just a big bag of onions. Do you then give the onions away anyway? Because, I mean, it's technically the thought that counts, isn't it?
Well, you might as well use them, make a French onion soup or something.
Well, quite. Yeah. You know, what is it? If life gives you lemons, make lemonade.
Yeah.
If you buy a big bag of onions from a man in a blue hatchback, maybe a French onion soup.
Make the most of it.
So I don't know, because I suppose you would be able to say, well, look, I wanted to get you an iMac and an iPhone, but I ended up accidentally buying this big bag of onions. Will this do? And, you know, and a considerate partner would say, yes, absolutely.
Oh,
thank you.
I'm
thank you so much for thinking of me.
We are
XFM.
You know when we had Sam Rockwell of everybody? He was fun. Big fan of Stockwell. Goodness me. Commissioner's own short documentary, Rockwell's Stockwell, which we played out to you, celebrating Stockwell Bus Garage, as he called it, and Planet Kebab. It's a nice moment. And we mentioned this to Billy Crystal, and he was like, oh, yeah, Sam's a big Stockwell fan. And he went, you know what I love? I was like, what, Billy? And he went, I love Crystal Palace.
Yeah.
I was like, you're kidding me? He's going to have thought for many years
I'd really like to voice my own short documentary about Crystal Palace. And I went, what would it be called? And he went, well, it would be called Billy's Crystal Palace. Yeah. I was going, this sounds brilliant, Billy. This sounds like something we could do right here. Let's do it right here. And so we did, and he just ad-libbed, just off the top of his head, an amazing monologue just about Crystal Palace. So we wish to bring that to you. This is Billy's Crystal Palace.
Hi, I'm Billy Crystal. And this is Billy's Crystal Palace. Crystal Palace is a residential area in South London on the move. Crystal Palace straddles a convergence of five London boroughs and three postal districts. It is contiguous with Anerley, Dulwich Wood, Gypsy Hill, South Norwood, Upper Norwood, Sydenham, and Penge. Crystal Palace includes one of the highest points in London, and OS map reference TQ337707. That's TQ337707. Please write that in your listener pants. Crystal Palace? More like Diamond Castle. I'm Billy Crystal. Thank you.
Billy Crystal Palace.
We are XFM.
I mentioned earlier on the important broadcasts, and I realise if you only just joined us, you won't know about this, but I had a strange occurrence this morning, strange event, strange happening just outside the studios. And ever since that happened, it's just been sign after sign after sign. For example, this. Let's talk about Jesus. Jesus was ejected from a darts match. That's the kind of the headline they've gone for. And there's a picture of Jesus. And really, it's just a gentleman with a beard and longish hair. And he's a fellow called Nathan Grindle, who's a big darts fan, right? He's a labourer. He's in his early 30s. He's 33, actually, which doesn't bode well. You know, Jesus... that was a bad year for him. Yeah. And he's a darts fan, Nathan Grindle. And lots of people noticed that he looked a bit like Jesus, right? And some guy did a double top or whatever. And then the whole crowd as one started to point at poor Nathan Grindle and chant Jesus, Jesus, at poor Nathan Grindle, finding himself immediately the centre of attention. Now, that's, in a sense, it's kind of... I mean, sort of bullying him slightly. I don't think they actually thought he was Jesus. No. It was very unlikely the second coming would happen at a darts tournament. But he obviously felt under pressure, and you would hope that the organisers would go, come on now, ladies and gents, what are you doing? Please stop this. Yeah. But instead, they removed Nathan Grindle from the darts tournament, thinking he was putting everyone off by looking like Jesus. And the poor fella, I mean, what a horrible, horrible thing. It says he had to watch the rest of the televised match at Butlin's in Minehead. I hope that was nearby. Oh. I hope they didn't go, the only place you can watch this is at Butlin's in Minehead. Yeah, that's banished. 400 miles away. So he had to go there, and he says, I love darts, but I'm worried about ever going to see it again.
Oh, that is not on, is it?
I mean, you could always shave. I mean, you know, he's not helping himself. He has gone pretty, pretty full-on for the full-on Jesus look. It's a strong look, you know, and he shouldn't have to shave this. No, he's just shaving people under pressure, but... You know, it's just kind of, what a horrible story. And I look at that, and I remember what happened to me earlier on this morning, and I think, well, that's a sign, isn't it? And then I look and see, well, look, the Pope has started tweeting. He started tweeting, the Pope, and there he is, looking over his kind of half-moon glasses, bent over an iPad, and he sent this tweet. Dear friends, I'm pleased to get in touch with you through Twitter. I bless all of you from my heart. And I've looked at his account. He's not really funny. Really isn't very funny at all, this guy. And one of his tweets, his last tweet, any suggestions on how to be more prayerful when we're so busy with the demands of work, families and the world? It's like, you tell us.
Yeah.
Exactly what you're getting paid for. You get this lovely house and all the rest of it. You tell us. How lazy is this Pope? He's sending out tweets going, have you got any suggestions on how to be more prayerful? It's like, we should be asking you this. So the Pope's in there. He's getting in touch. And one of his tweets, he blesses people. And the reason this makes me feel a little bit better this morning and full of comfort is when I arrived at work this morning, I was approached by a gentleman. And I think there is some bad wine going around London. There's some bottles of bad wine. or something. He got very close to me, this gentleman, and then claimed to be the devil. And it was very unsettling, you know, quite unsettling. And you're never quite sure. It's like, oh, is he, isn't he? And then he said, I'm taking your soul. And I was like, oh, that's all I need. Do you know what I mean? When it rains, it pours. And I'm like, oh, God.
Just
I'm
your luck, Danny, eh?
Just my luck to bump into the blooming devil. And for him to just take my soul, just do that. And as he wandered off, he was just kind of pointing at me. And I'm like, oh, it's too much for one man.
Wrong place at the wrong time.
Too much, isn't it? How am I going to cope? So it's like, and I don't know. I was thinking about where it could possibly be and what he's going to do with it. I'm not really sure why he's just going around like on a one-to-one basis doing this. Surely there's a better... So even the Pope is blessing people a million at a time using Twitter.
Yeah.
The devil's just wandering around Leicester Square at sort of 10 to 6 in the morning doing that. And I was talking to you guys, and you guys, you know where your souls are, and I've never really thought about it. And I, you know, where's yours again?
I keep mine in the bum bag that whenever I leave the house, I carry it that. With me, you know, constantly. And it's safe from thieves or any like
well,
Satan.
It's a great system.
Bump into him in Leicester Square.
And Dave, you keep yours threaded.
Yeah, I tie mine to a little piece of elasticated string and then thread it through my jacket so I don't lose it.
It's just like mittens or something.
Yeah.
That's wonderful. I'm thinking maybe a pendant or... But I don't know if I've still got mine. Can you tell by looking? Because I feel fine. I feel normal.
Mm. I think it takes a few hours to kick in, from what I've heard.
Oh, no.
So...
This is severely vexing. So maybe I need tips this morning on I suppose proper soul storage is what we're looking for this morning.
Is that it?
83936 for your soul storage tips, I suppose. Do you keep yours in a pendant, perhaps in a pencil case? I don't know.
Yeah,
soul cleaning? How do you do that? You hear about people going through soul cleansing experiences. Yeah. I've still got the guarantee. For the soul, and it's a lifetime.
You got the receipt, yeah?
I don't have the receipt,
right.
But I do have the lifetime guarantee. I didn't realise that could be sort of taken away at such short notice.
XFM. We are XFM.
Good morning, you're with the XFM Breakfast Show with me, Danny Wallace, and we welcome back to the studio one of our favourite gentlemen, one of our favourite comedians, one of our favourite gentlemen comedians, Rich Vulture's here, everybody.
Ah. Hi,
ho, Rich.
Ho, ho, ha.
You're dressed as Santa.
Yes, I am.
And what a wonderful thing for us to see this morning.
Well, you know, my skin is red. Yeah. I think that's what you're thinking about.
I see. You had a bad glass of wine last night.
Yes, it's the acid in the wine that makes you red.
Is that right?
Ooh. I just made that
You're
up.
Totally making it up. You just make stuff up.
About.
How are you, Rich?
Yeah, I'm good. It's like you can feel the cold in the air.
Yeah, when you walk in, a very icy atmosphere.
Yeah, emotionally.
Oh, really? Yeah, you can feel the cold in the air?
No.
It's
warm here, but Christmas spirit, I'm starting to feel it.
Are you?
Yeah.
How does Christmas manifest itself in your house?
Well, we just put up the tree.
Oh.
Not just the tree. We put stuff everywhere. On the toilet seat.
Right.
There's tinsel.
Too much.
Yeah, too much. Too much.
Too much.
You go a little bit nuts.
Yeah. Are you charged with any sort of Christmas decorating missions yourself? Do you have anything specific that only you are allowed to do?
The star.
The star?
Yeah.
That's wonderful. No, is that just how you're describing yourself?
No, I put...
Hello, I'm a diva!
No, I put the star on.
That's nice.
My one thing.
That's literally it. That's all you do.
Yeah.
Oh,
and then
man.
I sit and burp in a chair.
On the comedy scene, of course, they know you as Grandma's Dark Horse.
Thank you.
Now, how did you get that nickname?
Well, it all started when I actually fell off a horse.
I see.
I was doing a gig at the Cheltenham horse races.
That's where it was all happening. Yeah. I hope you don't mind. I've invited a small audience just to stare at you.
Hey!
Hi. Just suddenly, 15 people just stopped by the studio. Did you arrange this? What's happening
Yeah,
here?
They've never seen hair before. So that's why.
Is that right?
Yeah,
it's some kind of support group.
They love it.
And why have they chosen you, your hair, to be displayed?
Because they go, this is the way not to do it.
How lovely. Hey, brand new TV show is what we're going to talk about.
Oh.
2012, MASHed. You look very surprised by this.
No, it's a very surprising show, actually.
Uh-huh.
Nice segue. you know those shows where they go over the news events of the year?
No, I don't know those.
Well, some of them can be kind of boring, and this is just basically commissioned people on the internet, like Dan Bull. Have you heard of him?
Yes.
Cassette Boy.
Cassette Boy.
All of these people have been commissioned to do various topics on the news of the year. So you've never seen these videos before.
Oh, cool. And they'll sort of put new spins on things.
Very bizarre twists.
For example?
Falling off a horse.
No way.
For example, there's the Red Bull jump. There's a very interesting
Felix Baumgartner.
Yeah.
He was on the show.
Get out of here.
I will not get out of here.
He's alive?
Yeah. I imagine it takes a different spin on your show.
Is he tall?
No, he's not. No, he's fun size. Oh. Maybe he was tall once, but he did move quite quickly down towards the earth.
That's what atmosphere does. The London Olympics being compared to the riots.
Oh.
It's some very funny stuff.
That's good.
And the good part about it is it's not culled from the internet. It's commissioned, so this is the first time you see it.
XFM. Matt's still away, and the wonderful Alex Stefanovic is in doing the news. Yesterday, we realised that he didn't have any breakfast, and we were going, "Oh, you got to eat breakfast."
Yeah.
It's important meal of the day, isn't it? And we said, you know, you can go up to the little cafe thing upstairs and hand out a sort of a code. And he said, "What's the code?" And I jokingly said, "Well, the password is Raven." Now, I assumed that he would know how it works, and obviously it wasn't Raven. You can't walk around saying Raven to people, just strangers. No, no. First thing that Alex said to me this morning.
No.
He went up and he ordered breakfast yesterday, and after accepting his order, they asked him for, like, the special code or whatever, which is usually, like, 11385 or something like that, and he went, Raven. And the lady just sort of stared at him and went, sorry, and he went, the code is Raven. Now can I have my bacon sandwich? I feel so guilty.
Yeah, what have you done?
I don't know. I didn't mean to. I meant to then obviously say it's not really Raven, but I forgot that important bit.
Well, no, I remember when we mentioned Raven to him.
Mm.
We all chortled along, didn't we?
Chortle.
And I thought that was enough.
Yeah.
But apparently not.
Apparently not, no. He's been walking up to people just saying Raven. They must think he's a bit of an oddball. I had a bit of a day yesterday. I was very much looking forward to just relaxing a bit yesterday, you know, just kind of relaxing. I got home, and my mum and dad, who were around, they couldn't leave because they'd lost their car keys.
Uh-oh.
And by lost their car keys, they'd given it to my infant son to wander around the house with. That's a big mistake.
Yeah.
You would think, you know, they've raised a son already. You would think they would be onto this. And so began 6 or 7 hours of intensive searching.
Really?
For errant car keys. It got so desperate, Dave, that at some point I found myself looking in a cupboard 9 feet off the ground in case somehow my infant son, 3 years old, had managed to go downstairs, get the stepladder out, carry it, you know, insane. It was insania.
And what?
Peter Andre would say.
Don't ever say that again.
I won't. But in the end, managed to find them. Moments before my mum was going to board a bus for like a 15-hour journey to go and get spare keys and come back. By looking in, I saw him, he's got this little toy washing machine. I saw him just fiddling with it. I thought, could it? And he'd hidden them in the soap dispenser of a fake washing machine. How was I supposed to? That's not a go-to place, is it?
It's a great hiding place.
Always look there first, ladies and gents. That is my advice to you. The only advice I can give you about parenting. Always look there first. Why did I think it'd be 9 feet up?
I know. And you probably looked there about 3 times as well, didn't you?
I kind of did, until I caught myself doing it. Anyway, the password is Raven.
XFM.
I've been telling you, really, about, an unfortunate event that occurred as I approached the studio here at XFM this morning when I bumped into a man who I think may have had a bad glass of wine. I think it's going round, but I don't know, because he then claimed to be the devil. He got quite close to me. He said he was the devil, and that he was intent on stealing my soul, and then, in fact, confirmed that he had done. And I don't feel any different. I didn't get ID from him. I could identify him again if pressed. But I'm worried about this. I just think it's too much for one man. You know, when it rains, it pours. It's very vexing. Mm. So I've asked you, so it doesn't happen again, what are your soul storage tips? Killer's just rubbing it in there.
Yeah.
They got soul, haven't they? Not soldiers, of course.
No.
But they do have soul.
Never have both.
Matt, what are people's soul storage tips this morning? So I don't get in this blimmin' mess again.
There's a good one from Dave from Belvedere who says, I keep my soul backed up on iCloud.
Ah,
always accessible wherever I am, and because of my unlimited data plan, I can always keep track of it without worrying about incurring any extra charges. To keep it clean, I run frequent defragmentations and disk cleanups.
Oh, that's a lovely idea, isn't it? Yeah, I should really do that. I'm always a fool to myself when it comes to soul backups. Mm. Teacher Alan in Enfield says, soul in a bowl. Just keep your soul in the same bowl on the kitchen worktop that you keep your other important items, your keys, your loose change, your dog clickers. You'll still probably get told off by your wife when you forget to put your soul in the bowl when you get home from work. What are other tips for soul storage, Matt?
Dom in Windsor says, I keep my soul in one of those fake baked bean tins.
Oh, that's a lovely
idea. Innovations catalogue. Mm. It's an ideal gift from a practical gift-giving mum like yours, Danny.
Yes, no, it's wonderful. No, absolutely. Yeah. Teacher Ellie's got a little tip for cleaning your soul, if anyone out there is currently thinking about that. You've got to clean it like a mushroom, because otherwise bits will break off. What else, Matthew?
Kate suggests keeping your soul encased in a giant portrait of yourself in an attic. Also, Johnny keeps a spare one under the gnome in his front garden, just for this kind of situation.
Yeah,
and Bruce keeps his northern soul in Tupperware in the fridge, next to a half-eaten pork pie and a can of bitter.
That's lovely, yes.
Keeping it real but fresh.
Yeah, Anthony in Essex says, I keep mine in a solder bag. Brian in Sunderland says, I keep mine on a soul tray. Raymond in Stratford says, I keep my soul in a Marmite jar at the back of the cupboard, in the optimistic hope that Beelzebub is a hater. Yeah, he wouldn't go anywhere near that, would he? What else, Matt?
Stephen Croydon says, I lost my soul once, but was able to collect it from TFL Lost Property.
Ah.
The helpful old lady said that she gets a lot of them through her door. I now keep mine in storage, so it's someone else's job to protect it now.
Well, Glenn in Croydon does the same. He keeps his soul at Big Yellow Soul Storage in Croydon, which is good. Johnny had an unfortunate event. He thinks he left his soul tied to a lamppost one drunken night. Still can't find it. Confirmed listener Ross in Benfleet, what about you?
I just got a piece of string, and I just tie around the foot of my soul, and walk around a bit like a balloon. So I keep it close to me.
Yeah. Oh, that's great. No, absolutely. You just trail it around like a balloon after you.
XFM.
You're back with the XFM Breakfast Show with me, Danny Wallace. Our guest this morning is the wonderful Rich Fulcher.
Giblet!
There it is. And Matt, you've got 9 questions for Rich.
Have I? Right, yeah.
The colour red.
yes.
Let me give the answer.
Okay.
What are the answers?
Go on, then. Answer number one.
Nunchucks.
Okay. What's your favourite ninja tool?
That's right, yeah. That's interesting. What about question two answer?
Friday.
What's the question?
Gotta get down on Friday.
Yeah. What's that name of that song by that YouTube sensation in America? What was her name again?
That's absolutely right. Why are you asking Rich all this stuff out?
Yeah, that's
out
weird.
That's just gonna get his opinion on
shouldn't
it.
Shouldn't you be asking
number three?
Let's skip forward to answer number 8, ooh, which I believe is about Rich Fulcher.
Scientology.
So that be very careful with this question.
That was the religious beliefs question.
Yeah, which is what?
Which is your favourite cult movement?
I can't believe you're calling them a cult.
Oh,
I can't believe
my
it.
Goodness.
Just to be clear, Matt is in no way calling them a cult.
I'm not either.
You gave the answer straight away.
I don't want to get hurt.
And the last question for Rich Fulcher, the answer, please.
Tomahawk.
So what's that question, Matt?
What is an old American Native Indian weapon?
Why are you asking him that? You've got access to Rich Fulcher, and it's like you've written an interview and you're just going,
he's from America. You wasted it.
Why do you know what tomahawk is?
I know loads of things other than that.
He's a multi-award winning, very well-known comedian, and you're asking me about tomahawks.
Rebecca Black with a tomahawk.
Jesus.
Can we start the interview again?
No. We've got you a present, Rich, to help you celebrate Christmas, because if your only thing is that you put the star on the tree, then you're going to be lacking. You know, and I know you've got a young son. It's difficult. The husband's sometimes neglected. I don't want you to feel in any way that you're not getting the full Christmas attention, at least when you come here to your other family, the XFM Breakfast Show family.
It's like you're reading my mind.
Yeah, so here is your present for Christmas.
Wow.
Oh, look, they even did a little Santa laugh.
It's a jumper.
It's a beautiful jumper.
Shall I try it on?
Please try it on.
Okay.
Please try it on.
Well, I've got these headphones on.
You can take them off. He's removing his headphones. The fleece is coming off now. He's wearing them off. His check shirt underneath.
Yeah, he's got
the red jumper now is going on. It's a red jumper. It's got a big Christmas tree on it. It's over the head now, down past the ears. The arms are going in next. That's the left one. And the right. Now he just has to pull it over the torso. There it is. How do you feel?
Tight. No, I love it.
But also, look, what's it got at the top of that Christmas tree?
A star.
A lovely little star.
Rebecca Black.
We are the greatest goddamn radio station on the planet. XFM.
I've got a house guest.
Have you?
Yeah, Tinkerbell. Tinkerbell's around my house. Really? I had to go and get Tinkerbell yesterday.
Right. I don't know what this means.
Yeah, okay. Tinkerbell. Yeah, no, I'm fine. Tinkerbell's a hamster from Playgroup.
Right. Oh.
And it's our turn to look after Tinkerbell. And you've never seen two grown-ups more terrified. me and my missus, absolutely terrified that we are somehow going to kill Tinkerbell.
Yeah.
The way we carry the box, is Tinkerbell all right? Is Tinkerbell okay?
Yeah.
We were wondering where to let Tinkerbell sleep last night. Does Tinkerbell sleep in our room, or does she sleep in, like, a spare room, and does she need the blinds down? Honestly, that's what we were genuinely saying. Would she want the blinds down? And she's got her own. She's brought her own little house within the cage, Tinkerbell. She's fine. She's living the life of Riley.
Yeah.
Pretty sniffy attitude, though.
Yeah.
Very sniffy.
Always remember that I once killed our house hamster, so... Is it a guinea pig or hamster, did you say?
I don't want to always remember that.
No,
I don't always remember that.
I don't remember that, but remember that for this...
Some things I want to forget.
Well, whilst you're looking after...
Tinkerbell.
Tinkerbell. Just be careful.
Why?
Well, I dropped a full pile of plates next to the cage when I was younger. And
she's in the kitchen now.
Gave the little blighter a heart attack and it died. So,
just
be careful. That's all I'm saying.
What was that guy's name?
Spring.
Spring?
Yeah.
Spring?
Yeah, I don't know.
You've got all kind of, you know, like, very modern people.
It was my sister's.
It's like a modern showbiz child name.
It's a showbiz child name.
I think
Spring.
We bought her
did it
spring.
Have celebrity hamster parents?
No, I don't know. I'm not so sure. I never met the parents.
We'll never know now,
no.
Will we?
No.
You hamster killer.
God rest her soul.
Yes, God rest her soul, everybody. So it was a she?
Yeah.
Oh, right. You killed a female hamster?
Yeah.
Why would you do that?
I didn't mean to. I dropped the plates next to the cage, and it kind of obviously gave her a shock.
Yeah, this is by accident, of course.
Yeah, of course. Yes, of course.
We are Dom in Watford. Are you there?
Hello, Danny. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you, Dom. Do you have access to your listening partner? Is your listening partner around right now?
I've got quite a sad story. I don't have a listening partner.
Dom, what happened? You should all have a listening partner by now. We've been quite clear. You've had a long time to sort this out. What happened to your listening partner?
I work in a van, so all I have is a fluorescent jacket to look at, and I'll discuss it, but I do have fears for my health, really.
Well, don't fear for it. Embrace it, Dom. Like Tom Hanks in Castaway, this fluorescent jacket, this simple high-visibility jacket, could be your Wilson.
It could be. I was considering getting a cardboard cutout of yourself and just congratulating you on witty links.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, I would like that. I'd be able to sense it. What make is the high-vis jacket?
Let me just have a look.
Just have a little look.
It's non-brand specific. It doesn't even have a tag inside it. It doesn't even have washing instructions.
You're screwed, aren't you? I've noticed that you haven't even been sending in your listener pad for marking lately.
I haven't. I'm really slacking on that front. I'm sorry about that.
Well, despite that, let's just do quiz face, shall we, Dom? You should know the rules by now. So, Dom in a van with a fluorescent jacket for company, let's get quizzical.
Quiz face.
So, Dominic, for this week's quiz face, we thought we'd look back at the success of this simple format globally, having recently found out that the suits and the thought police here at Global Radio have been selling the rights right the way around the world, despite the protestations of my agents, Dom, who've correctly identified the clause in my contract that says any and all ideas that I bring to Global Radio PLC will be shared on a goodwill basis with a 60-40 split on production costs, plus, Dom, a share of any and all back-end profits. Am I seeing those profits, do you think, Dom? Have I seen any of them?
I think those blotter jotters are hiding them from you, Danny.
You're absolutely right, those clowns.
Number crunches.
So let's go right the way back to the very first quiz face of 2011, Dom, and let's give it the 2012 treatment. Round one's from Japan.
Getting Japanese! Round one!
Yeah.
I'm going to ask you, Dom, to choose a colour quickly.
Pink.
You're saying pink?
Blue.
Thank you. Now, let's choose a number between 1 and 30, Dom, quickly.
27.
22.
It's 22, but I'll give you that. Although... Oh, you've been kicked off the barge. I should have mentioned, Dom, the Japanese have set their quiz face on a barge. You've been bang kicked off the barge. Italy now, Dom.
The Italian job.
Yeah. Dom, there are six barely dressed girls writhing around you. Some of them, Dom, have got their hands on your neck. Now, choose a letter. Very nervous laughter there from work experience, Steve. Picturing that. Now, choose a letter, Dom, from the 26 possible options.
I'll go with Y.
Y.
E.
Excellent. Can you get yellow box E, please, Matt, on row Y?
Yes.
Okay, just hand that to... Well, Dom, some of the girls are stroking your hair now.
That's lovely.
oh, no, what's this? Oh, Dom, a dirty old man's running. He's chasing the girls around. You don't know what to do with yourself. You've exploded. You've fallen off the barge again. The Italians kept the barge from the Japanese format. They set theirs in Venice. It actually works better than in Japan. Do you fancy going to Finland, Dom?
I do. I hear it's lovely.
Okay. Well, Quizafisafin is now Finland's top-rated, fun-packed game show. Ooh. It's hosted by Bippy Longmock, an animated, bloodthirsty wolf who regularly tears apart a pig carcass in a rage if a contestant incorrectly answers a question. A lot of fun. Doesn't really translate over here, but over there they love it. Bippy's got the box, Dom. There are three possible keys to the box. It's, all right, Bippy. There's key A, there's key B, and there's key 3. Choose a key, please, Dom.
I'll go with 3, please.
Key 3.
Key B.
It's the right key. You've opened up the box. Oh, Dom. There's a bloody pig in there. Oh, Jesus. Look at that. That's disgusting. That means, I'm afraid, Dom, you're off the barge. Oh, but Dom, look. Just up there on the side of the barge. Could it be a key format point? I secretly insisted that every single global version of Quizface adheres rigidly to, because what's that written just there on the side of the barge? It's in Finnish, Dom. Can you complete the well-known Finnish phrase? Oh, lemme.
XFM.
Yes, but in Italian, it's siamo.
XFM.
In Albanian, Dom, it's ne jemi.
XFM.
In Polish, it's yes desmi.
XFM.
And in English, Dom, it's we.
XFM.
Ah, what?
XFM.
Yeah! Right around the world, right around the world. Oh, how do you feel? What was your favourite version there?
I particularly enjoyed the Japanese version.
Yes, that's lovely. Set on a barge, the first country to have done that. Wonderful. So listen, Dom, you are off to the Pogues a week tomorrow night. See Frank Turner and the Pogues doing a big Christmas knees-up. How do you feel?
It sounds absolutely amazing. I'm going to take my girlfriend as a birthday present as well.
Ah. Yeah, no, this is for you and your listening partner.
Well, me and my fluorescent jacket are extremely happy right now.
Excellent work! XFL! Londoners in need of a hug can attend a cuddle workshop. That sounds good. But it's not, my wife is a terrible cuddler.
Really?
Yeah, she's a cuddly. She accepts the cuddle.
Doesn't really give much.
Oh, it's pathetic. Years I've suffered from this.
That's a shame.
She knows. She's been told it since childhood. Mm. You're a terrible cuddler. So it means I'm investing so much cuddle in the cuddle. And she's just soaking it up. soaking it up like the aristocracy. But it's not just ready, set, cuddle, it says here, from beginning to end. There's a process that is followed during these four-hour cuddle workshop sessions. The participants have to get acquainted before they can hold each other for the full-on cuddles. And a bunch of strangers just get together and learn how to cuddle each other.
Yeah.
I think, even though I've got proof in my own home that some people can't cuddle, I think we all instinctively know how to cuddle. We all enjoy a cuddle, don't we? Do you enjoy a cuddle, Matt? Would you like me to cuddle
you? There are a lot of different techniques, though, aren't
there? Would you like me to cuddle you?
I'm always open to a cuddle.
You are always open to a cuddle. You like to be cradled as well.
Sometimes, yeah.
Cradled and stroked. That's the thing. That's your little technique.
Yeah, I don't deny it.
Well, how do you cuddle?
I go for the classic bear hug. All-encompassing.
You're a dominating hug.
Yeah. I envelop the huggy.
Yeah,
and then I also
like a squid or something.
Yeah, like a Venus flytrap
approaching. Maybe in that case a flyer. In my case, a smaller fish.
So and also hold for that extra split second.
Mm.
So it's slightly uncomfortable at the end.
Yeah, but the only way then it gets comfortable again, doesn't it?
Yes,
that's the thing.
Yes.
It's like a joke. You keep telling the joke. It becomes not funny, and then it becomes funny again.
Yes,
like that with a hug. Dave, how do you cuddle?
Well, I start the hugging motion from afar. This gives everyone a chance to prepare for the embrace.
Wide open,
yeah. One arm over the recipient's right shoulder, one arm under the left arm, which creates a kind of diagonal hug.
Yeah.
I also add an audio treat.
It's a zug.
Yeah, it's a zug. And I also add an audio treat, which is along the lines of...
Nice.
Yeah.
Another audio treat you could do would be just to do that exactly. Start the hug from a mile off, walk up, and then the audio treat is just whisper in their ear, I will kill again. Do that. It's unsettling, but that's what makes it exciting.
Yeah, yeah.
I go for the full body hug. Now, you might think that's a simple sort of full-on body press, but it's not. I quickly work my way up the body, starting with the feet. I scamper up the shins. I cup the knees for just a second before some basic thigh work, just miniature sort of knuckle pummeling. Avoid the groin, ladies and gents. Avoid the groin, unless you've met before and at least know their name. Work your way instead around the buttocks, making your fingers feel like little spiders. Then up the trunk very quickly, three main POCs or points of contact. That's navel, nipple, nape of the neck. Remember it this way, of the Then it's a kiss, a cuddle, and a carvery. So how do you cuddle, ladies and gents?
We are XFM.
Shall we talk about Work Experience Steve?
Work Experience Steve's Road to Winter Wonderland. With Rocksmith, now anyone can play guitar or bass.
He's outside. He's in Leicester Square. He looks a little odd, I'll be honest. He looks a little odd. And this is all because the new game Rocksmith's out on Xbox, PS3 and PC. It teaches you how to learn to play guitar or bass guitar. And Steve has accepted the challenge to use Rocksmith to kind of up his game guitar-wise. He was terrible. He's now all right.
He's getting better. He's
getting better and better. And he's going to be on stage at XFM's Winter Wonderland at Brixton Academy alongside Theme Park Lucy Rose, Temper Trap, the Cortinas, Editors, and in front of 5,000 judgmental XFM listeners. And he's going to play live. So we've been training him up. Let's check his progress. Steve, are you there?
Hello.
Hi, Steve. There's your guitar. Excellent. Now, Steve, I charge you with the mission of writing a Christmas hit. I'm looking for like a number one, basically. You haven't had very long to write this. What sort of themes have you covered?
Well, you know, as a singer-songwriter, I tend to write about what I know, which is the Ferdinandos.
Very short songs.
Oh.
Oh, so you've written about your family?
Yeah.
The Ferdinandi. And who in particular? Malcolm, Geraldine?
Yeah, Father Malcolm and Mother Geraldine.
Is that what you have to call them?
Yeah, it's a very formal relationship.
Is that
relationship?
How you tell them apart? Father Malcolm,
yeah,
Mother
very
Geraldine. So you've written about your family. Well, that's nice. It's a time for family, isn't it, Christmas?
Yeah.
Dave, can you just describe what he's wearing?
Yeah, we thought we'd get Steve into the Christmas spirit this morning, so we provided him with a lovely jumper that has beads on, it has baubles on, it has tinsel around the cuffs and around the bottom. On the back, it has a Santa saying, ho, 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 the ho's actually being in polystyrene. And it actually has a illustration of the Christmas tree on the front, with the 3D baubles literally coming out of the jumper.
Lord! How do you feel wearing that, Steve?
Well, silly, but mainly because I think I've got the wrong way around.
Oh, man.
Santa's on the front.
Does it make you feel uncomfortable, essentially mocking the Christian faith, Steve?
This is the worst thing you've made me do.
Well, listen, let's do this. You haven't had long to prepare, so let's have Steve Ferdinando's Christmas classic.
Okay, here we go. There's an ugly Christmas tree, little chance of snow. A plate of stale mince pies, but hey, that's Christmas, Ferdinando. Malcolm's in the lounge, proud like a Spanish slug. He's got a hot Christmas brew in his confirmed listener mug.
Oh, nice.
Geraldine's in the kitchen, boiling the Brussels and draining the peas. Shouting, I'm gonna go bloody bananas if that short fat bald man has eaten all the Christmas cheese. Now Malky winks at me and hides the cheese under the mat. Sorry, darling, that wasn't me. I think it must have been the cat. But we haven't got a cat. And I giggle. But I stare out of the window, forlornly, because the only thing I wanted this Christmas was a gift from old Danny. But who knows, maybe next year. And for now, I've got the Ferdinando lads. They all scribble over my heart like I'm a confirmed listener pad. Now, they're no Mona Lisas.
Quite long, isn't it?
Oh, give me a second. I'm winding it up. Now, they're no Mona Lisas and bit of Ricky, no Bordeaux. It ain't perfect, but it's a Christmas Ferdinando.
Oh, that's great. That was absolutely brilliant, Steve.
Would you interrupt Noel Gallagher? Would you interrupt Noel Gallagher?
That was longer than I Am the Resurrection.
It was a very long song. You're just in time for the Showbiz Update. Look at you, lying there all snuggly. And yet you know nothing about the day's Showbiz Tales. Well, let me change that for you. Charlie Sheen gave Lindsay Lohan £70,000 to help pay her taxes a month or so back. But poor Charlie Sheen has yet to receive even a thank you note, Matt.
Ugh, what?
What are the youth of today coming to? Do you write thank you notes? You would if you got 70 grand, wouldn't you?
Yeah, certainly would. At least a post-it.
Worth a text. Yeah. Worth a text. Rihanna was mistaken for Anne Robinson in Manchester.
You are kidding me.
I'm not. I mean, I think they were probably kidding. A bunch of women ran into the Lowry Hotel and started shouting at Rihanna, Anne, you are the weakest link, goodbye. And they ran out again.
Right. Those Mancunians.
It's another youth of today story, isn't it?
Yeah.
David Hasselhoff wore an anorak and Wellington boots and went for a walk around Cumbria.
Am I in a dream?
Ollie Murs would never take his shirt off and shout at Flo Rida. I'm not even going to go into that.
He would never.
It's just better to leave it at that. Piers Morgan. That's what happens when you say the devil's name. Maybe battling the likes of David Letterman and Jay Leno, as his show may move later. Now, is that because they think he can battle Jay Leno and David Letterman, or are they just thinking, let's just pop the show a bit later?
Yeah, well, that's not good, is it?
The bloke from the Wurzels who wrote I'm a Cider Drinker. He's a real regular in the Showbiz Update. So he wrote I'm a Cider Drinker, but he hates cider.
What? You are kidding me.
I'm not. He's always hated cider.
Shut up.
I will not shut up.
Ridiculous.
He's always hated cider, Matt.
Shut up.
Deal with it.
Oh,
he's
no.
A wine buff. I think cider's beneath him. Nirvana are reforming for one night only tonight in New York, with Paul McCartney replacing Kurt Cobain.
Wow.
Yeah,
what?
Really?
Sorry, really?
Look at Matt writing that down. That's his showbiz news, though. His music news for later.
Yeah.
There's more pictures of Harry Styles with Taylor Swift. Now, I must have seen a dozen of these now. I'm yet to see him look like anything other than a cornered bear. You know, I'm no One Directioner, you know me. I'm all about Lawson. But if you love him, Taylor, set him free.
Yeah.
I'm just very worried he's just a little trinket to her, just a pretty bauble, you know? But if he leaves her, and you'll like this, Matt, I think she may put out a hit on him, which is a wonderful expression I've just made up.
Yeah.
about releasing a song about him.
I
truly believe that that phrase deserves wider attention and appreciation.
That's a hit.
Yeah. Put out a hit on him.
Yeah, huh? That's nice.
You know, like that hit she put out on that other fella.
Yeah.
Like that.
Yeah.
Christine Blakely and Philip Schofield have been told they have to learn how to ice skate after ratings for Dancing on Ice slipped. And bosses think that if people can just see Christine and Philip skating, they'll return in their millions.
Ruffle cocktail.
Seems a little simplistic.
Yeah.
Anne Hathaway inadvertently exposed her lady's lower classes at a film premiere. Alicia Keys wants to shave her head. Jennifer Aniston is wearing a jacket and holding some water, so she's pregnant. And Paris Hilton has adopted a stray cat that Demi Moore once fed at a Chanel event in Miami. Paris took the cat and checked her into the Fontainebleau Hotel in Miami, then flew it home in Kanye West's jet after Kanye saw the cat and offered it a ride. Has this cat not suffered enough? What is it about this cat? This must be one charismatic cat. Can this cat talk? What? This cat seems an extraordinary cat, man.
Yeah, it does. Been through a lot.
Been through a lot, but it's making friends left, right, and centre. It's like one of those people you see in the tabloid. You know, you don't really know what they do, but they're always hanging out with celebrities.
Yeah.
That's that cat for you.
I think that's your first threefold showbiz update, that one, because there were three celebs in that one story.
Plus,
which was incredible.
Plus a cat.
Plus a cat.
Held together, knitted together by the glue of a cat.
Yeah.
And there's no good spotted today, so I'll just tell you the one I've been telling you every day. Spotted a hairy biker enjoying a glass of wine in a local hotel with a friend. But now you're in the no-biz.
Now I'm in the no-biz.
That's what I said.
We are...
My goodness me, what a touchy-feely listenership we have here on the XFM Breakfast Show. Yeah. Let's talk about how you cuddle. And it's a wonderful thing, isn't it? Just a wonderful thing. Ben from Bracknell, for example, Matt, goes for the big wraparound. He pauses for a while. He says, it's not a race. Take your time. Then finish off, of course, with two pats to the back. Yes, he says, it may be boring, but sometimes the most boring and basic methods are actually the best. I suppose you're right there, Ben, aren't you? Mm. I suppose that's why it's lasted the ages, I suppose.
Yeah.
Matt, how do people cuddle?
Wise words also this morning from Dom in Windsor. He says, being tall, I like to stand slightly sideways on.
Oh.
So if I so choose, I can scoop the cuddly up in my arms.
Oh.
A bit like the poster for the film The Bodyguard.
Bodyguard, yes.
I don't do it much as my back is a bit jippy and usually goes, and we both end up on the floor.
Yeah, well, that's
sometimes
the,
can happen.
That's the cradling that you enjoy, isn't it?
Yeah.
Grace in Surrey, she enjoys using the surprise hug. Now, this includes, well, it seems like quite a rigorous schedule of stalking her victim for at least 1 week to find the perfect time to pounce. Now, once this time is found, she simply jumps at them, perhaps from a hedge, shouting, surprise hug. She says, occasionally this can lead to a police record in assault, but most of the time it is enjoyed. How lovely, Grace. Thank you. What else, Matt?
I start with the old school yawn and stretch with the arm landing on the lady's said right shoulder.
I see.
I then feather said lady to face me. The proceed with the left arm pressed against the lady's back or hand on backside. That's confirmed, listener Fran.
There's quite a lot of hand on bottoms with these. Charlie in Cheam says, morning, guys. My hugging technique is very basic. A nice big embrace with a double hand pat on the back. Not too hard for the ladies, though, as their frail structure can't withstand too much of my patting. Also, for comical effects, if the cuddle recipient goes for a firm cuddle, I blow a raspberry. It's a winner with the in-laws. A virtual hug to you all from Charlie. Thank you, Matt.
That's nice. Here's another... A lazy hugger,
she calls
herself.
Dear.
I'm too passive in the cuddle. My technique is to assume the position of little spoon and let him do all the work. So, there's quite a few people out there that are passive cuddlers.
They're just passive cuddlers, aren't they? They're cuddlies.
Some people don't like to come forward with their names when it comes to this sort of thing.
Yeah.
And, fair enough.
Another Dom starts the embrace from roughly 11 to 12 feet away by blowing a vuvuzela and pronouncing loudly that I'll be approaching with the intention of cuddling them. That's great for legal reasons, isn't it? He then snaps it on quickly, tightly, but always caring, and nuzzling his face into their neck. He then whispers, remember me, before skipping off, blowing his vuvuzela once again in celebration. Rachel says, my hugging technique is reminiscent of a 15-year-old at a school dance. Hands on the shoulders, elbows completely inflexible, as I do like to keep people at arm's length. The slightly worried expression on my face, nervous and a little disdainful that anyone would want to hug in the first place. She says she never initiates the hug, but she does have to react
very quickly to ensure it doesn't turn into a traditional hug in which he has to make contact with other people. How friendly. What else, Matt? Johnny Hopper says, don't forget the venerable side hug, an invaluable tool of youth workers the world over, easily deflected an overly affectionate young person and avoids suspicious looks. Also, the standard cuddle, a full wraparound from
the White Van, the full wraparound is wonderful, with left hand.
With the mobile phone in the left hand.
Yeah, I always find that the wraparound from the White Van Man is one of the most satisfying.
Phone in left, and the right hand is clear.
It's free.
It then means that his head can see his phone to play Angry Birds. Other apps are available. Yeah. Frustrated noise is often mistaken for affectionate groans.
That's nice, isn't it? The head can see what the heart wants. And Dave in Sheffield just says, I find you can't go wrong with a caring but firm surprise embrace from behind, much like the bedtime spooning technique. This works particularly well when you are the taller party. So if you're drawing diagrams at home, just make sure you've annotated that correctly. And perhaps a kiss on the neck, just for extra tenderness. Sheffield's a happy place this morning. How wonderful.
We are XFM.
Let's do Danny Analytics. So, Matthew Dyson, what do you think you've learned? You particularly, you there now, you.
Well, I'm not sure, Daniel. Oh. I tell me it wasn't a dream.
Right.
I seem to remember work experience Steve resting his head on my gentleman's grievance.
Yes, that happened.
He also spider massaged my bottom.
That's right.
Touched my navel and the nape of my neck.
He did.
It was a real turn up for the bookstore.
I recorded it. We tried to get it on the Facebook page. We're having technical issues, but at least I've got a copy and I'll be watching it later. Bald-faced, part-time scammer artist Matt Dyson finally turned up for work today after an extended period of absence, during which all he seemed to do was have a shave. And I thought he was pleased to be back here at Studio XFM until I told the story of a ne'er-do-well in Hounslow who's scamming locals by selling them bags of onions that he convinces them are full of iPads. Well, never have you seen a man check the price of onions so quickly. Straight on the internet he was, spreadsheet software open, crunching the numbers. How can I make a profit out of this? Matt's off to Hounslow, everybody. And what's more, he knows his onions. Don't trust him. Don't trust him.
That's Shallot.
We are XFM.
So there you go. That was podcast 75 from the XFM Breakfast Show with me, Danny Wallace. And I hope you've been enjoying downloading all these podcasts, all 75 of them. Apologies that we haven't got round to sending the invoice round the bills yet. The bills will be with you next week for all the podcasts you've enjoyed. Just £10 per podcast. So that's £750. All in cash, please. Matt, any questions?
You can also do a banker's draft if that's easier for you.
That's easier for you.
We will accept them.
Yeah, yeah. But payment must be within 3 days of receipt. Bye-bye.
Yes, we are XFM. Danny Wallace.